Welcome to Cybersecurity Insights, the podcast for the cybered.io learning community. Our goal is to bring cybersecurity practitioners the latest and most relevant education and training to upskill and dive deeper into topics that matter in today's modern cybersecurity world.
Good day, everyone. This is Steve King. I'm the managing director at cybered.io, and today we have the pleasure of talking with Tal Colander, who is in the United States this week and this month and perhaps next month while trying to return to Israel. Tal is the CEO of Gitbolt and co-founder and has a fantastic and storied history as a self-taught hacker, F-16 pilot qualifier in the IDF, and cybersecurity whiz for the IDF before she finished her national service and moved on to Dell Computer, where she practiced more of the same, and then started Gitpool a couple of years ago, which is a very successful vulnerability detection and identification company that focuses on configuration errors, which is where many of our container and cloud vulnerabilities arise from, and is completely self-funded and has created this fantastic success story over there. So welcome, Tal.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tal. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Let's talk about how you got stuck here, which is, you know, interesting. I mean, you were here when this happened and now your situation and, you know, what you're doing, as we just discussed a little bit in the meantime, to you know, leverage what time you have here. And we don't know what the future is going to be like.
Yeah, when I got, you know, the cancellation from United, and then I realized that there are actually no airline that is flying to Israel. I mean, everyone just shut their I would say, yeah, the flights to Israel and from Israel. So it was very, very sad. I mean, we are, again, it's like another kind of Ukraine. I mean, if you think about it, but it's not the first time that it happened to us. I mean, yeah. The whole story of the Holocaust and everything. And I don't know if people are aware of what happened. They just 1,000 Hamas soldiers, troops, whatever they were, and they just got into Israel. And it was a complete surprise for us. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I do think that we are, shame on us that we didn't know that it is coming. It's another Yom Kippur thing. And they did it, of course, in a perfect timing, 50 years after Yom Kippur War. And they just got into Israel and they burned people alive, meaning they just killed babies, women, pregnant women, of course, old people. And they just, after they bore, I mean, they killed them. They just, you know, just slaughtered them and they just killed, I mean, they just took their body parts. And it was, I mean, the amount of hate that they have towards us is, I mean, it's not that they fight against our soldiers. No, they fight against, I mean, innocent people. I mean, and again, with the peace party or the festival that was over there, that they slaughtered almost like 260 people over there. They didn't care. As long as we are Israelis and Jewish, and that's what they wanted to achieve. And they are so proud of it that they just, you know, they film everything, which is, oh my God. I mean, and again, even if you do it, just shut up, be modest. I mean, whatever, go back to your, we'll go back to Gaza, and I wish that you will be dead soon. And what I did was absolutely none. I mean, there was no humanity in that. And that's what the world needs to see, each and every one of them. The pictures and the videos that I saw and I wanted to see, because it's my people and I wanted to feel the pain even more. I mean, we never had something like that. I mean, in all of our wars, and take it since Israel exists, which is 1948. And yeah, so, and of course, it takes me back to World War II, obviously, to what happened there. And yeah, but then and different people, same style, same hate. It was very, very hard, very harsh.
Yeah, and there's no reason for it, right? I've never found anybody that could explain that to me, including my mother, who was Jewish, you know, she said, I have no answers. You know, I don't know. And it must be bewildering, you know, at the very least, to grow up and live in an environment where you're surrounded by people that want to kill you every day, all day. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, here, we're in it. What do you think is the, you know, from a soldier point of view, or a combatant point of view, what do you think is the next move here, and what do you think that's going to look like?
I know that 400,000 people already called, were called to reserve, and I know that we are planning to get into Gaza, but we are making sure that they are not setting us up. You know, they are not. They are no. Well, that we are ready enough to get into Gaza, because the last time we got into Gaza, we lost lots of soldiers, and I also think that there is some kind of, I don't know if it is an operation or mini war in the north, because there is another door that just opened that is pretty much people, and this is the Hezbollah now, and they are way smarter than the Hamas and the Jihad, so they just attack us. And if they will start a war, I think we are in a big problem right now. Because let's say if it is Gaza, then we are trying to do anything we can in order to rescue, of course, the people that were kidnapped by them, but also to make sure that there is no more Hamas and Jihad, Islamic Jihad. But regarding the North, regarding Hezbollah, it's Iran. We also started something, small thing with Syria. I don't think it is healthy right now. We are very, very strong, but if you think about it, these are very big countries. And even though we have Europe with us and the US, we absolutely don't want to start World War III right now. I think we have had enough, you know, as Israelis, but as Jews, there's so many things tied up to this. So it's getting worse each day. I mean, it's not getting any better. I mean, I don't know if someone thought otherwise. We are in a very bad situation right now.
Yeah. You think, so Hezbollah, in your mind, is a more capable opponent than Hamas, and because they're closer to
They know us better than them. I mean, Hamas, I mean, they got some intel from Iran, probably. That is how they did. That is how they managed their attack. I mean, for sure, we know that they are not that smart. And so they got everything from them, or most of the things from them, from Iran. And of course, Iran is Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is in Lebanon and other places. But Hezbollah are very smart. I mean, they know so many things about us. Because the people in Hezbollah, they walk different. I don't know if it's fair to say they are smart. And in Israel, if they are attacking us, we need to be afraid. And I think that we are.
Just to refresh our listeners a little bit about your background, can you remind us of your time in the IDF and kind of that story? You know, you were a teenage hacker, self-taught and all of that. And then when you did your service, you were primarily interested in flying F-16s, as I recall, and qualified, right, for that. And then you ended up in the cyber labs or whatever that group.
Cyber units, I would say. Maybe it was computer units back then, and IT and security was together. And then cyber came when I just finished my military service. But after my teenage time, when I was thought that playing in some computer just to get some to win some games and to become the human version of Robin Hood, and I knew how to hack many things, and it was really, really nice. And then I just in the army after the time the fighting pilot course, then the intelligence forces and the computer units, it was called MAMRAM back then, and then I moved to other units. They took my black hat attacking skills and they made it like a white hat attacker skills. And I always say that when people watch the TV series or movies, that the Mossad is involved. I mean, I always say it's either things that, you know, take sample of that, and some of it is real, okay? So it's not some of it really happened, or let's say relied on true story, something like that. And then The future thing that we always see, you know, with the robots and everything, it's something that pretty much predicts our future, and we will be there. But we are working very, very hard. And yeah, the things that we managed to do, and the thing that I was part of, pretty much significant, and I'm very proud to be and to sell for my country. Currently, most of the people that are called are not from the Israeli intelligence forces, but actually they are from the let's say they are fighters. They need people to be and to stand on the line on the borders, and to be prepared for them for the next call when the time is right, just to be there. And yeah, believe me that no one really wants to have any fight or any war, but we all know in Israel we are so together in it, and we are so, it's like every year we have something, right? I mean, kind of a small operation, big operation, and the people in Israel are so together, and in terms of we love serving our country, we love helping each other. I mean, this is our culture, and when we do it, then it feels good. I mean, and we volunteer sometimes to go, and usually when you reserve, it's let's say until the age of 42, 45, but this time, even people that are above 60 were called. So everyone just to know, I mean, not only that they were called, some of them were also volunteered. I mean, and they were considered even high rank, and I don't know, not even high rank officers or people, they just stopped everything just to help Israel, just to help their people, the sisters, the brothers, because it is so important. Even people, and in some way, we all know someone that lost someone, okay? I mean, because we are such a small country, so everyone knows everyone in, you know, maybe in one hop away. So yeah, it is something that we see all the time, how close we are to each other and how we really want. And if you will ask our soldiers, they don't care to sacrifice their life to save their friends, you know, to save their friends. I mean, you see, that is who we are. And it means so much about us, about, you know, the Israelis, about who we are as a community, as a country. And we are very young in our spirit, and also in the country. Israel is very young. And we just want people to, you know, to leave us alone, although we know the fact that we are surrounded by our enemies or by people that don't really like us.
Yeah, the country's young, but the heritage is several thousand years old, and you've been under siege the entire time, you know, in the entire history, which is bizarre to me, of course. And there's no way I can imagine what that might be like, but I don't live in that environment on a day-to-day basis. I can't begin to imagine what it would be like to, as I say, you know, live a few paces from people that are trying to destroy me. And I don't think that, you know, the sense I get is that people are treating this war as if it were a, yeah, just another like conflict or something, and that, you know, you guys will kill a bunch of Hamas and you may suffer some more casualties, and then somebody will call a truce and then off we go. I don't think that's the case this time, though. Do you?
You know, I want to say something a bit before about the Jewish people and communities that are not in Israel, and also to talk about some other people and some other things, the support that we get from people. And by the time that I started Gitpol a few years ago, I think that I know today like hundreds of people, different people, I mean, but from the same, you know, from the same industry, which is the cybersecurity, IT, and the feedback and the support and the messages, the emails, the everything that I get from them, it's so, it warms my heart. And I want to say not only for me, but again, from the other colleagues that I work with, and to see them, the great support and the great amount of love that they send to us, that they, all they want is like to help us in any given way. And if we are, let's say, in the state, hey, let's, you know, come over, stay with me, it's okay. I mean, it's like, this is something that I'm telling you, I never expected this thing to happen, because, okay, you know, people are friends, and but to see the, you know, it's like people, you know, they have their own life, and to see the amount of love and the huge welcoming, it's amazing. So I really want to even to say here, thank you for everyone, and including you, that open the door for me and for us, for the Israeli people that are here, and that you really want to help, and in any given way that you can, because it is not taken for granted. So I really want to say again, thank you for that. So yeah.
Absolutely. And put me on your list if you ever need a place to stay. You know, my house is your house, so anytime.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about Gitpol now, and since the last time we talked, I think several months ago. How is it going?
Well, I want to say faster than I expected, but yeah, I mean, we always want more customers. We are surprised by the fact that first we are growing as a company. So when you first saw me, we were like, what, 7 people? Right now we are 25, and remember, we are growing, and again, we are self-funded, bootstrapped. We never took a dime on purpose from any VC. We never raised from anyone. So we are going in terms of the product. We are going in terms of the customers. We are going in terms of the team. We are going in terms of, you know, the value that we bring to customers. And we hear it all the time. That is so important, you know, to get the feedback, to see exactly what customers need, and how to translate it in the product, and how to make it happen, how to make it deliverable, and how to make sure that they not only buy, but later on they renew, and they get for more items, more devices, more things that we do. They see the value. Not only that, I was in a conference a couple of weeks ago, and I saw some prospects over there, and they remembered me demoing them or other colleagues of mine, and they just spread the word about how cool Gitpol is, and now, oh, I need to revisit, I need to probably take another look at probably a POC. But then they even spread the word how to to other people, to other potential customers, of, hey, have you heard about Gitpol? Oh no, so this is what you need, ta-ta-ta. And then, whoa, I was like overwhelmed, I mean, to see how customers, or even not even customers, spread the word. I mean, more than that, I mean, what can you say? It's like, it's...
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. Best kind of marketing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best marketing. I mean, when, and of course, like current customers, when they say things, good things about the product, and they see people, they meet with people all the time. And hey, have you read about Gitpol? Because Gitpol is not only a good product, it's also, we have absolutely good DNA. I mean, the team, I mean, the fact that I can go today in the States and you know, like, sing Gitpol, okay, it's because I have such the best team in the world that is supporting me. Most of them are in Israel, but it's like they are there wherever I need, and I am also there and here, I mean, wherever they need, and to think alike, and to be there for each other. And again, not only the Israeli culture, but again, also in Gitpol, that's what we do, because we think, we want everyone to think that we are their family. We are here wherever they need and whenever they need. And we know exactly that they can definitely, I mean, if till, I don't know, like 18 months ago, like, I mean, it was very, for me, it was a bit tricky to fly and to be like in some place like for 10 days. Look, I'm here like 3 weeks now, and I know the things are running, I mean, even without me. And I'm so proud right now that Gitpol is growing like that. And yeah, I'm definitely now, I'm free up to do other things that I couldn't do before. Oh, I was very limited doing them the way I do it today.
Yeah, but you're still on customer calls, I take it, while you're here, is that?
That's correct, but the customers that I am handling with today is that big customers. Yeah. And even after the first call, the initial call, or one, two calls, something like that, then I just transfer to my engineers and the other people to take care of, because sometimes all we need to do is just to open door, is to open the door, just to have the first call with whatever customer it is. So sometimes that I need to be in the front. Most of the times it's my people. That's insane.
So you're in Florida right now, and then you're headed to where? You've got a bunch.
So, it's going to be Portland and St. Louis, Chicago, Boston, Charlotte, London. If the Israel and the Israeli borders will be open, then I will go back to Israel next month.
That's, you think, November, huh?
But we are not sure yet. Again, every day there is another surprise. So,
yeah, no kidding. And then, and by the way, that some folks look at this and say, well, why don't you just destroy everything that's moving in Gaza right now? Why is it just like to decimate the whole crowd there and take it over?
Exactly. And we see, what companies
that you have the air power to do that, right?
Yes. But because we are being watched from so many people in countries, and we need to not to do anything stupid according to them. Meaning we cannot. Even the hospital the hospital. I don't know if you saw the rocket that hit the hospital. It was their rocket. Sure. Everyone knows that now. But again, we will never do it. We never killed innocent people, and of course we never bombed like something so stupid like that. A hospital. Although we know,
if you're killing yourself to get people out of there and Hamas won't let them leave, what do you end up doing? You've got to do something, right?
And they take an advantage on that, unfortunately, because they are hiding in hospitals, they are hiding in schools, they are hiding, and they even tell the students and the people, oh, no, everything. Please go to school every day, and the hospital, do not go to the shelters. Stay where you are, because they know that we won't do anything to them.
Right.
They just know. And that is why, unfortunately, that is why we have the troops. We must get in. We must get in into the hospitals, into the schools, into wherever, because we need to attack them, and we cannot kill innocent people, of course, not children. And that's not who we are.
Yeah, it makes the rules of engagement very, very difficult, though, right? And you lose a lot of your own troops doing it that way. And, God bless you for having that kind of civility, It'll be, we watch this, of course, every day, and we had friends and all of that. And I obviously wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
So thank you. Thanks for jumping on the show here this morning, very short notice.
Thank you for having me.
And as always, it's great talking with you. And I'm serious about that. If you wanted to spend part of your winter in a warm environment down here in the desert in Arizona, so you don't have to freeze up in the Northeast if you don't like.
So. I'll definitely keep you posted.
Yep. All right, Tal. Thank you so much. Yep, for joining us, and I appreciate your insights into what's going on over there, and all the best.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we'll do it again soon. If we're still doing this a month from now, I'd love to have you back, and let's talk some more.
Perfect. Always pleasure.
All right. Thanks to our audience for spending another half hour with us, and hopefully you were as entertained and informed as I was about real events at Ground Zero in the, whatever you want to call it, the Israeli-Hamas war, from an observer with a very relevant military background who is fighting the cybersecurity wars that we're all part of. So thanks once again. And until next time, this is Steve King, your host, signing off.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Cybersecurity Insights. You can connect with us on LinkedIn or Facebook, or send us an email at social@cybered.io. For more information about the podcast, visit cybered.io/podcast. Until next week, stay safe and secure, and we'll see you on the next episode of Cybersecurity Insights.